Hey everyone, I want to tell you about my latest sponsor. How We Can Heal Chronic Pain and Fatigue is a live 10-week mind-body course starting May 4th. It has all the knowledge and practices you need to recover from TMS. Each session has in-depth trainings, somatic meditations, and a Q&A. Two mind-body coaches are sharing everything that helped them recover from really disabling symptoms. Rebecca Tolan, who was on the podcast a few weeks ago, you can check her out, healed from 13 years of chronic fatigue syndrome, interstitial cystitis, and Michelle Wiegers overcame POTS or POTS, fibromyalgia, IBS, and the pain associated with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. They're grounded in John Sarno's work and have trained with Dr. Schubiner and psychologist Alan Gordon. How We Can Heal from Chronic Pain and Fatigue has techniques to help you feel emotions, shift your thinking, and calm your nervous system. Instead of suffering alone, this is a supportive experience with group sharing and online forums. Again, the class starts May 4th, and you can find out more information on their websites at Rebecca Tolan, that's RebeccaTolin.com, or Michelle Wiegers, that's MichelleWiegers.com to learn more. Everybody, welcome back to the show. It is Wednesday, April the 7th, and I am out on spring break, actually. So as you listen to this, I am nowhere near my house, but I wanted to make sure that I dropped this cool podcast. It was a request, and I'll get to that in a second. But before I do, I want to make sure that I give a shout out to the patrons of the podcast. So shout out to Nathan, Valerie, John, Brooke, Carrie, Jason, Colette, Matthew, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Francisco, Ashley, Michael, Victoria, Chad, Anthony, Jen, Nate, Christina, Ross, Julie, Casey, Brian, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. Thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart for continuing to support the podcast. Really, really means a lot. It really does. Not just saying that, it really does. I don't even think you know how much. So this week's podcast is, so I mentioned that, I can't remember if it was last week or it was a couple weeks ago, but I did that class for the University of Rochester, and I got asked by a couple of people if, is there any way to get the audio from that? So that's what today is. It's basically 30 minutes. I can't remember if I got questions or not from some of the students, but there was, there were a couple other people in the space that came and told their stories. And I told mine. I kicked off the class, which I love doing. So you'll hear an introduction from Dr. Douglas Gufrida, who I've done the show with before. So you'll hear from him at the very beginning. And then I get into kind of the progression of my story. And so if you're newer to the podcast, that's an opportunity to kind of hear some of the different places that I've been and some of the different prognosis and diagnosis that I've been given. But it's about 30 minutes. So go ahead and settle in. That's what this episode is me speaking to some of the students at the University of Rochester. So check it out.
All right. So that's us. I just clicked the record button. I'm super excited about tonight. This has been, something I've been most excited about all semester. So I'm going to give a brief introduction of the three of you who are here, and then I'll turn it over to Eddie. So Eddie Lindenstein is a TMS recovered person and has started a podcast, which I guess was originally about his working out, and just got lots of questions and interest in the TMS and how he cured himself of chronic pain. So it's kind of turned into that. And I followed Eddie, I probably right from the beginning, because you were the only one, the first one, I think, doing this, having a podcast with experts and recovery stories and all that. It's been important. And I wrote an article about what I do and mentioned Eddie's podcast is something I assign as homework to people. And Eddie found that article, someone sent it to him, and he invited me to be on the podcast, and that was, which was real exciting to me. And I'm super excited to have him here. Maria Sokoloff, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Close enough.
So I say Sokoloff is my married name. So, you know, it's okay.
Okay. Maria and I connected because she wrote she's a TMS recovery story, and she actually wrote a novel on.
Not a novel, a memoir
on her experiences. And so she's going to talk about her memoir and her recovery. So I was super excited that that's relevant here. And then Adelina is one of my clients who got better and just is super excited to talk with people about what that was like. And how. And so I said, well, I got a class. And she lit right up and said, absolutely, I can't wait. So those are the three. Then we've got Matt, who's going to be joining us a little bit later, who's got another interesting background. He's a TMS recovery person as well, and has started kind of a business in this area that I think will be interesting to hear. So let me turn it over to Eddie. I'll give you a 5-minute warning, Eddie, when we're about ready to wrap up, because I want to keep it on schedule. I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, like you said earlier, the on-time TMS trait, that's actually really funny, because it's been something that drives my wife nuts, that everywhere we go, we've got to be there or 10 minutes. We got to be either on time or we got to be 10 minutes early. And with two kids, that got a lot harder after we started having children. But it is what it is. So yeah, so my name is Eddie Lindenstein. Everybody had far more exciting and interesting backgrounds, I felt. I sell software out of Seattle. I work with a lot of HR professionals. That's kind of my day job. But I did start a podcast. It'll be 4 years ago in September. And it did. It started out as a fitness related. I had a couple of like CrossFit Games athletes on really early, people that were really famous in their world. But the problem is I wasn't well known in that world at all. And I did a couple of interviews with these people that there should have been a lot of downloads. There should have been a lot more interest. And then not long after that, and the reason that it really turned to TMS, mind body recovery stuff, was when I had a Marine on. And he's just a guy that I went to high school with that lives locally. He's a real estate agent. And I had him on the podcast and started talking about his time overseas. And does he ever have, you know, now that he's at that time, he was 10 or 12 years removed from the service. Are there anything or memories that maybe he thinks about? And he started talking about having these really intense migraines when he would wake up in the middle of the night thinking about all the friends that he lost in battle. And I thought that's really an interesting thing. And that got a lot of downloads. And then I had Nicole Sachs, who's written a book in the field, and she's over in Delaware, but really well known in this world. And she's a psychotherapist in mind body as well. And that started to get far more listens and downloads again. And so I thought, well, I don't find it super interesting to talk about sets and reps and all that kind of stuff for an hour a week. It's really tough to not just keep everybody else's attention, but really even to keep my own as a host. So it evolved into like a TMS type podcast. And now today's episode that aired was episode 168. So I did 14 in a row. And then I took about a 4-month hiatus when my second daughter was born. And then it's aired 152 straight Wednesdays, which is like the most TMS sentence that I could have uttered. But nevertheless, listenership is really growing. Today's, in fact, was the most listened to since the pandemic began. And it's only 2 o'clock on the West Coast. So it's only been out for 13 hours. And I didn't find today's particularly interesting, but that'll be a theme that I'll talk about. If I go back in time, really when sort of pain issues for me became too big to ignore, it was back at the end of 2015. And I'm an Olympic style weightlifter. I train in the snatch and clean and jerk. And I've been competing since 2012 in some way or another. And I was training for a meet that was coming up. It was 2 months away or so. And I had a shoulder dislocation. And I finished the training session and I felt fine the rest of the day. I had a great training day. And then that night I started to have these really intense shoulder pains. And this went on for several months, 2 or 3 months. And I would go see doctors and I would go see doctors and some would say that I had this major issue. And then others would say I didn't have that much of an issue at all. Just give it some time and it'll heal. And but I was really, really pushing for an MRI. Like I wanted to be sure of whatever it was that I had. Went and got an MRI done and I took it to 3 different surgeons. One said I needed surgery, but that I could wait. And one said I didn't need surgery. And then another one said I need to have surgery right now. What was interesting though, in going back and thinking about it, because 2020 hindsight is great for everybody. We have the best thoughts ever when there are things that have happened in the past. But the one that said that it could wait, she was an athlete in my sport. So she was familiar with the work that I did and what I would train for and the things that I needed to peak for and stuff like that. But one thing that she had said to me that has resonated with me to this day is that she said that you don't need to have surgery now and that you should resume activity to however much it is that you can. And if you start to have pain, just back off a little bit. And it was very simple language. But what I noticed was that as that day rolled on and that week rolled on, my pain level, you know, I went from being maybe 50 or 60% functional to being 90% functional probably. And then I ended up seeing another surgeon, and I ended up actually scheduling a surgery. But going into the surgery the week before, I remember thinking I'm 95 to probably 99% right now, but personalities like ours, they need 100%. I bet if I would have given it a couple more weeks, it probably would have gotten there. But I had just thought that I'm an athlete and I was lined up for surgery and this is just what I'm supposed to do. I went in, I had the surgery. I was afterwards, I had, when they gave me a final diagnosis, I had tore my labrum. I tore my rotator cuff and I had broke my arm all in one spectacular shoulder dislocation. But again, by the time that in between the time when the dislocation happened and the surgery, it would have been 6 months had passed. And they told me probably like 10 months to recovery before I would be cleared for all activity. And I graduated from physical therapy and was cleared by my surgeon at 4 months and 29 days in true perfectionist, true perfectionist fashion. What was strange is the week leading up to that clearing for all activity was that I started to get some unfamiliar knee pain. And I sort of, I went and I saw my orthopedic doctor, and he gave me some painkillers, some anti-inflammatories, and said, you know, just chill out of the house for a couple of weeks and it'll probably be fine. So I did that. And then the day before I was to be cleared for all activity, I started having like sciatic pain. And, I had never had anything like nervy before, like a nerve, you know, a really just, and I was only in my late 20s. So like the burning and the numbness and the tingling down my leg and stuff like that really scared me. And I read about some stretches that I could do online, and I did those stretches and everything was fine. I go in, I get cleared for all activity. And then the next day I start having really intense back and neck spasms. And I just thought that, hey, I've just got the worst luck in the world that my body's breaking down at 30. And that's just what happens with athletes. And that's how it is. And what occurred in the months following this, so this went on for 10 months or so of every week, essentially, I would see one like medical doctor, like an MD, and then I would see one physical therapist and I'd see one chiropractor. And I ended up driving to, I live in Seattle, I drove to Montana. So I drove, it's like 14 or 15 hours, had a neck operation in Montana, didn't take my insurance, I paid all out of pocket. I would see Rolfers, I would see physical therapists, I would see massage therapists. And the predominant diagnosis that I would get was what's called thoracic outlet syndrome. And if you're not familiar with it, it's sort of the death sentence for athletes. You'll see it come up every once in a while in some of the major sports. But now that I look back, it's really an obscure kind of a thing to get. But essentially what anatomically is happening is that the nerves and the arteries and the veins coming out of your neck are getting pinched somewhere in either your neck, like the muscles in your neck, or the muscles in your chest. And so the recommendation was, let's do these Botox injections, and that should suffice for a while. And then if you still have symptoms, then we're going to make the recommendation that you remove the scalene muscles in your neck and the pec minors in your chest. So the Botox didn't work. I mean, it certainly paralyzed the muscle or whatever it is that it's doing for a certain amount of time. But when it came back with a vengeance. That's when I go out to Montana. I have the procedure with this guy that's out there, and he lists off all these issues. I had EMGs that showed all these problems. I had MRIs of my neck, and he did the procedure. I drove home. I felt worse than when I got there. So it's just like over and over, I just kept having this fear that like, I want to get back to my sport, but I don't think I can. And I just had this daughter, and I've got another one on the way now. I was working a really high pressure sales job, but none of these things were computing to me. And then I went and saw the team physician for the University of Washington Huskies basketball and football teams, Dr. Kimberly Harmon. I got in on a cancellation. She was booked 6 months out or something like that. And showed her my EMG and showed her my MRI. She did this really thorough physical examination. She was asking me a lot of questions. This wasn't kind of the typical United States medical insurance model where you sort of get 5 to 7 minutes with a doctor and that's really it. She probably spent 30 to 40 minutes with me asking me a variety of questions, doing strength tests, reflex tests, all those kind of things. And she had just said, what's the stress in your life like? Like, what's your stress levels like? And, you know, I told her, like, I work this job and I'm in sales, and you know, I've got a younger kid and all that kind of stuff. And she just sort of was implying that, hey, this is maybe a part of the problem. And I was like, but I have, Dr. Harmon, I have all these imaging results that show these kinds of problems going, and like pretty serious stuff was going on. It was showing I had nerve lesions in my neck, and I had every reason to believe those, even though nothing had happened. I didn't fall off a balcony. I didn't get hit by a car. I didn't have any sort of serious physical trauma happen. But she backed off, and it was actually the first doctor in 10 months that when I walked out, I had a prescription card for a sports psychologist. I didn't have one for painkillers. I didn't have one for an anti-inflammatory. So it was just a really different radical way of looking at it. And I remember when I got home, I put that prescription note down, and I never, I didn't pursue it in that moment. I kept going on my merry way, just assuming, like, not that she's full of it, but, you know, I don't really necessarily believe what she says. And then a few weeks after this, I was on Amazon, and I was looking at like foam rollers or mobility products or something like that. And I had, it was like the suggested purchases section, and it was Healing Back Pain by Dr. John Sarno. And I saw that there were 2000 reviews, and it was like 4.8 out of 5 stars. And I go and I'm reading the reviews of this book, and it's really kind of blowing me away. And I spend the rest of the evening looking at YouTube videos and watching the 2020 special, hearing John Stossel talk about him, seeing Howard Stern talk about him. And I was just thinking, this is crazy. I've never heard of this guy. And now, of course, to me, he passed away the week that I had found out about him, just a couple of days before. And so his legacy is really pretty amazing to me at this point in time. But I read the book, read it in a couple of nights, and I had a pretty sizable reduction in my pain. And keep in mind, like, I had been out of weightlifting, my sport, training, the gym, everything for 10 months. I had resorted to just walking, going on walks, and maybe some gentle yoga, mostly just because when I would pick up even the most mundane tasks, I could pick up a barbell, my hands would go numb. I would type on a keyboard, my hands would go numb. There's really only so much that you can do. So a lot of times I'd use like speech to type with my Mac to do sales reports or things like that. And it sucked. And I just thought, like, God, I've got another 50 or 60 years of this probably. Maybe I'll die at 80 or 90 and that'll kind of be it. This will sort of be, you know, the best that my life has to offer. But I read that book in a couple of nights, and I had a 30 or 40% reduction in pain. And I just had a feeling, like, I knew it, that this had to be it. I went back to the gym that I had been training at for all the years leading up to the shoulder dislocation. And, I just signed up for it's an expensive gym out here. It's one of the most expensive in the area. And I prepaid for 3 straight months. And I had said, well, I'm financially tied to this, and I'm the kind of guy that if I'm paying for something, I'm going to get the absolute max use out of it. So, I prepaid for that, and I went back every single day. I haven't missed a training session. I haven't had, outside of a couple of relapses, which I'll talk about those in a minute, I haven't missed a day since that happened, and that was 4 years ago. And I'm stronger now. My birthday's on Saturday, and I'm much stronger at 35, despite everything that's happened the last few years, than I ever was at 25. And it's really been kind of an amazing path forward. The highly stressful job that I had, I thought that what Dr. Sarno was telling me to do in those pages was, hey, whatever is going on in your life, you need to 180. So I quit my six figure sales job and had no job. And the plan was to be like an online fitness coach, an online fitness consultant. And I did. I got some clients pretty quickly that were paying me a good amount of money to train them online. And mostly these were people that wanted to be like adaptive athletes. Maybe they, like, I had a client who had cancer and part of her quadricep was removed. And so being able to just really dial in whatever it is that she would need, specifically her training restrictions, to be able to work with her in that way. But I just kept thinking about, what are the ways that I can put forth what I've learned about this TMS world? What are some things that I can integrate when I'm doing these kind of things and when I'm training these people? Because just little things that I had picked up, things that Sarno didn't even say to do in his book, that to this day, when I get I get a lot of people that email me and ask me if I'll do private coaching on a very limited basis. If the setup is right and I feel like this person is somebody that when I speak to them, they're really going to be able to interpret and understand and get better and that kind of stuff, I might do like a one-off session with them or a one-off conversation similar to what Steve Ozanich does now. But one of the first things I did that was really a pivotal moment for me is just taking a piece of paper and having two columns and just saying, on the left side, here's an issue or a medical problem that I've had in the past. And then on the right side, putting down what was going on in life at the time. And what I had found was at that point in time, I'd been in sales for 10 years or so. And I had found that every quarter, so April, July, October, April, July, September, and December, I had some kind of a medical issue. And it was like clockwork. It was every quarter, at the end of every quarter for 10 straight years. So that would mean 40 consecutive quarter ends. I would have everything from flu-like symptoms and be diagnosed with like a C. diff infection and be given drugs for that. And then they get the results back and they'd say, well, you don't have C. diff, so you need to get off the antibiotics. I don't know what's wrong with you. And then magically, when the new quarter would start, my problems would go away. My knee pain would go away. My wrist pain would go away, all this kind of stuff. So that was kind of the first big telltale sign for me. And some people think I'm totally nuts. People in my family that, you know, every time we get together, family reunions or barbecues or whatever, and everybody kind of stands in these circles and they talk about all their pain issues. And I just can't do it because I used to participate in that so heavily. And now I really, really back off of that. But the podcast to this point, like I said, it's about 170 episodes in. I've interviewed everybody from Dr. Gafrida to Howard Schubiner to Jeanette Barber, who was Rosie O'Donnell's executive producer, and she was featured on 2020. Basically every expert, every living expert, it seems like, that is in the United States or North America, I have interviewed on the podcast. And then some of the most amazing recovery stories. There's even been therapists that have come on. There's a therapist, Liz Wallenstein, who's out of Arizona, who is a cancer survivor. And one interesting thing that I thought was pretty amazing that she told me in the interview was that she doesn't think that TMS or mind body was what caused her cancer, but without the tools that she gained in both being a therapy patient and in being a therapist herself, she doesn't think that she would have survived the cancer, which is pretty wild for what everybody on this call is learning to do with your lives and the way that you're going to benefit people, because Liz credits herself being alive to that, which is pretty amazing. So I probably get I've gotten so many emails, responses, and listeners from places in the world I could never point out on a map. Somebody emailed me once from Burkina Faso, and I had no idea where that was, and it's on the west side of Africa, and I would have never known that. Or these little obscure islands, the Maldives, like places that are just, you know, all over the world. It's been so cool to talk to people all throughout this time. And I would say that for me, like, some of the bigger themes that have come to light is just knowing, like, a thought or an emotion is not necessarily true. Just because you feel something or you're thinking something in the moment doesn't necessarily make it true all the time. It took me a long time just to be able to, like, utter the words that, like, my kids make me upset sometimes, which is it sounds so elementary to say, and so basic, but just to be able to get to a place of recognizing that, hey, just because I have these thoughts that I think these things doesn't necessarily mean that they're true. And I think that that's a big barricade that a lot of people have. Maybe when they're starting to learn about this stuff or being able to even get past it, is just being able to make those admissions. One of the other things that I recently talked about on my show that is super helpful for me now, just in terms of being in tune with how I feel and knowing when there could be a potential symptom issue that's going to come up, is when I start just getting obsessive thoughts about anything. Some of the examples recently have been like, this is such a first world problem, but going from an iPhone to an Android device, right? Like watching YouTube videos, getting obsessed over the change. Am I going to be able to survive this? That kind of stuff. Very fear-laden thoughts about just like minuscule things that nobody even gives a second thought to, not wanting to make a wrong decision. Same thing with, like, I'm pointing at my motorcycle, doing a lot of research around getting rid of this one and getting something else. When I start to notice that things are really occupying way more real estate in my brain than they ever should, I know that, like, hey, it's time to really do some more inner work, whether that's journaling or that's meditation or that's somatics or whatever the case is. I wasn't as in tune, or I wasn't paying as much attention just a few weeks ago. I was on the platform that you may or may not see behind me, and I was lifting weights that I have lifted more than that a bazillion times. And it just felt like somebody took a hot flaming bat or a knife and just like shoved it into my lower back. And I went down, I couldn't get off the ground. This was 35 minutes this lasted. My oldest daughter heard it from her bedroom and she came downstairs and asked me if I was okay. And I couldn't even shift an inch because it hurt so bad. And the fact that I couldn't, like, make my legs move the way that I wanted them to, and I was just thinking to myself, like, gosh, just a handful of years ago, this would 100% would have had me call 911 because I can't move. I just can't, you know, I can't do anything. And, but instead, by the time I got my ass up off the ground and I went to my room, I just started really dipping into the somatic tracking work that I do. Somatics depends on who you're talking to. If it's the Peter Levine, it's more of kind of like a Peter Levine, sort of an Alan Gordon kind of thing. But, really for me, it's just being able to sit with the discomfort that will come from kind of visualizing that space between, like, when I describe it to people, like your chin and your sternum. And, just, I lay there, oftentimes this is right before bed, and I just lay there and I'm just closing my eyes and I'm just visualizing that spot pretty much where my heart is. And it starts to feel nasty. It feels swirling. It feels burning. It feels like a really bad panic attack is coming on. And if I just sit there with it and I just let it do its thing and swirl and make me feel uncomfortable and make me sweat, and I look at my Fitbit and, you know, my heart rate might now be at 145 beats per minute when it's regularly resting at 50. If I can just sit there and let that pass, it is the most abundant amount of health that I can imagine for weeks and months to come. One of my best friends is that she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, given a 6 month inflammatory breast cancer, given a 6 month, basically said you're going to live for 6 months. And this was back in 2016. She's still alive now, by the way. I talk to her often about a lot of this stuff, and I talk to her husband often a lot about this stuff. And the kind of experiencing that I do for back pain or ankles or knees or whatever, she said it's kind of a lot of the stuff that she does in her cancer recovery. And I just think that there's so many parallels, and I almost feel Howard Stern had called this really like the mother load when it comes to health. And I really, truly believe that. I mean, I got over that back issue from not being able to feel my legs all that well and not being able to stand up or move in any sort of way to lifting maximum weights in 3 or 4 days again as if nothing happened. Like, it's a pretty amazing thing to always have access to. And again, just being able to sit there with and have that somatic experience and just allow it to be, like, it's been so powerful. And people, again, friends of mine that don't believe in this stuff, they think I'm crazy. When I gave my mom healing back pain for Mother's Day a couple years ago, she said, slid it back across the table and just said, you know, my pain is real, right? And you know, that was sort of the response. And I was just thinking, like, God, guys, I went from having like neck surgeries and shoulder surgeries and on painkillers every day for a year, and then all of it was gone and nobody cared about what the reason was. I was even having really like COVID-like symptoms about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I told my wife, like, I went and got a COVID test. It was negative. I come home, I'm still feeling all these COVID symptoms. And my wife goes, maybe this is like a TMS thing. And I was like, huh. And I went upstairs and I did the same thing, the somatic work. And I woke up the next day and I had no more symptoms, nothing. So I had till 5:30. That's about what
we got time for. One question here that came in the chat, Eddie. So thank you, by the way, that was great. And I know you know so much about this. It'd be great to have you, you know, for an hour or two. So the question is, have you had podcast listeners reach out to you and say, because of you, they contacted a mind body therapist or got some sort of intervention and are now better?
Even further than that, I would venture to guess I've probably had somewhere between 50 and 100 people that have messaged me to say I was in crippling pain or weakness or illness or whatever, and now I'm totally better, and all I did was listen to your podcast. There obviously are things that they did to integrate into themselves beyond just listening to the words that were spoken. But probably the coolest story that I can remember is there's a guy, he's an attorney. He was in California. He was either in North Carolina and is now in California, or flipped those. It's one of the two. An attorney, he had a 2-level cervical, so up in his neck fusion, was worse coming out of surgery, used to ride a motorcycle. The story of me riding a motorcycle really, really resonated with him. We exchanged some emails back and forth, and he's been pain-free for a year and a half now. He sends me pictures of his Harley that he had redone. He had these airbrushings done on the gas tank of storming the beach at Normandy, because he's a big military buff. So that's really cool. There was also a mom that emailed me like 2.5-3 years ago that said, I have my high school senior age son is a basketball player. He has a scholarship to go to a university. We can't figure out what's going on in his shoulders and his arms and his biceps and everything like that. Doctors have diagnosed him with compartment syndrome, and it's just sort of like, this is something you're going to have to deal with. Would you please talk to him? Because she was in a TMS group and it saw some of the things I had said. I corresponded with Brandon over the course of 2-3 weeks. I didn't hear anything from him for a long time. And then maybe 2 or 3 months later, his mom sent me this really nice email that I save all this stuff and I read them. But his mother had said, Brandon's playing college basketball now, and he doesn't have a pain issue. And he says it's entirely because of you. So I've got quite a few stories like that. And I always tell my wife, sometimes I'll come out from recording a show, I do them right here, and I'll, you know, get done doing the editing and I'll put it together and I'll put it out there. And it's a non-interview, like a solo show, which I do every other week. And I'll just go, Jenny, that sucked. I did not feel like I did a great job with what it was that I talked about and the content that I had. And then inevitably, in the days after that, those will be the ones I get the most emails about and the most comments about, are these ones that I just think are the drizzling shits for real. And people seem to get a lot out of them. And maybe it's just because they are off the cuff, which is what I'm doing now. I'd ask Dr. Grafrida, do I need to have like audio visuals? Do I need to have a PowerPoint, all this kind of stuff? And he said, no, it's not necessary. And I was like, good. Cause like off the cuff, I always tell people when people come in for an interview and I say, they're like, oh, what do I say? Can you give me the questions ahead of time? And I'm like, listen, we're just two people at a bar. Like, just treat it like that, and everything will be fine. And I think maybe that's what people value the most, is just, this is just like a normal guy. Like, there's nothing, because if you were to be in the presence of a Dr. Sarno or a Nicole Sachs or Howard Schubiner, you know, they're elite. Like, they've gone through so much training in this stuff, and they've been doing this for so long. And then you've got me, like, software sales guy with a messy garage that lives in here and, you know, rides a skateboard and does all that kind of stuff. Like, it's very different.
Well, I would concur about the people you've helped, because I recommend your podcast, as you know, as I wrote about, you know, that I recommend. And so social support is something that's hugely important for people that are going through this, right? And what I mean by that is it's the opportunity to connect either real or virtually with someone who's gone through it or going through it. And sometimes you don't actually have to have a real connection in terms of an interaction. You just have to know they're out there and start to believe it. And, you know, the recovery stories are so great, because everyone in the beginning is usually like, well, that's great, but that's not exactly what I have. Is there anyone who's, you know, and then they'll hear you interview someone that it's very similar symptoms. They go, oh, so you can have, you know, like, I get all those other people there. They have problems that are mind body, but mine's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And then they hear a recovery story and they go, oh, and then you have an expert on who comes on and tells all kinds of, you know, provides all kinds of information. And so the people who get better, as Adelina will probably talk about, this becomes, you know, a regular part of their daily practice. And listening to the podcast is part of what really helps people stay engaged in this and resonate. Sarno talked about it being, you know, necessary for you to really believe in the diagnosis to get better. And most of my folks aren't 100% when they come. They seek me out. They want to work with me because they believe in this. But push comes to shove, they're usually only 50% or less in. And so they have to develop this over time. And your podcast has been really helpful to my folks. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And thanks for your story. Great.